Hello and welcome to the Man Travels World podcast. I'm your host and voice behind Man Travels World, Julian Austin. This week in episode 2, I'm discussing all things related to working in the cruise industry as a ship-based employee. So essentially what it is, working full-time on a cruise ship, but more specifically as a member of the cruise and entertainment division with a major cruise line, as that's what I do on board. And that's the best information that I can provide. Inform and educate people out there which may be interested in working on a cruise ship or those curious as to how we live as crew members floating through the world's oceans on mega cruise lines, 4,500 passenger vessels. So we'll dive into all that kind of good stuff. Hopefully this gives you a better picture of what it's like to work on a ship, but also how you could get a job yourself. So let's kick it off. To get things started, I just want to talk about my background and experience prior to applying for a ship-based position. First, I was familiar with it. I had a sibling that actually had worked previously with a cruise line, so by the time I was looking for some employment after some traveling, this is an avenue that I had always had in the back of my mind. So I researched a bit and found sports staff opportunities on board, as that was my background. So sports has been my background, and I've worked in various industries, from working with collegiate athletic associations and professional sport organizations on the sales and marketing side, also hosting larger events, and then also setting up some sport camps and things of this nature. So the transition was more natural for me as sports staff on board. However, it's certainly different working on a cruise ship than anything else on land. So there's a lot to get used to. One, just from the cruise ship employee side. So not even the major duties of the day, but just the emergency duties and other things that crew members must go through, safety trainings, security trainings, all these kind of things, because it all relates to our job. But in case of an emergency and in case something was to happen on a ship, we also have other duties and preparations for that as well. So the sports side of it, day in and day out, if you're somebody that does not have any experience working in sport, or if you're a university student and you're just coming out, it's a great job to have. And for me and my background, it was a little bit of a step down, although there were different areas where I had a lot of room to grow. And for that, I'm certainly happy that I did go down that way. Since I've worked for the cruise line, this has been I'm currently on my fourth contract, and I'm actually recording this episode from one of the crew areas, so trying to get some nice quiet time. So this is my fourth contract, and my fourth ship, and I've traveled around the Caribbean. I've also been around Asia as well, and currently the ship I'm on, we're sailing out of Shanghai. And so it's a great way to travel the world and experience new places. And I've evolved a little bit within my current role. I started, my first contract was 7 months, and then I transitioned to a different position within the sports staff in the same company. So it ended up being a better choice for me, and gave me the ability to work on the other side of the world, being based out of China and going to Japan and places like. And if you are tuning into this episode, you probably are interested in the different aspects of cruise ship life or crew life, but also getting a job yourself. So let's go ahead and dive into a little bit of that in becoming a cruise ship employee. So if you are interested in becoming an employee, there are a couple ways you could go. You can be ship-based, so actually working on the cruise ship, or you can be working on land. And there's certainly a lot of planning and departments that go into and creating the experience for guests and for crew members from land. But as a ship-based employee, a number of ways that you can go and get into it, I would recommend going directly to the company's website and checking out the careers page. That's going to be your most up-to-date information, and here's where you'll get a little bit more of the job descriptions and qualifications needed for a position on board. So for me and sports staff, I did the same thing. I went directly to the company's website, saw what the qualifications were, and for this particular company, it's 1 or 2 years of sport coaching and education experience and a general knowledge of sporting terms and rules. Something to keep in mind, though, is that most of the staff here on board, we've attended university, we have a 4-year degree, and we are specialized in certain management styles or certain aspects of the sport industry from our own countries. And that being said, everybody's from a different place. You know, I'm from the United States. There's people, of course, from Canada and the Kingdom, but I work with people from Brazil, from Portugal, Spain, China, Japan, all these places. So our backgrounds are unique and various, and so the qualifications will be as well. One thing to note is that English is the official language of many of the cruise lines, but oftentimes you'll find crew members in other departments that speak at a lesser level. So if that's a concern of yours, definitely something to think about. Being fluent and being a native speaker in English certainly has helped, but you'll find a majority of crew members on board will actually speak more than one language. So of course the varying degrees are different for that. For sports staff, we are directly, customer facing crew members. So that means every day we're working in front of guests. And for that, we have to communicate accordingly. Being in China right now, the majority of guests, 99% of the guests are Chinese, but we still speak English. And we do, have phrases and speak Chinese the best of our abilities, but we're able to get the job done. And this contract, there are actually probably three or four of the sports staff that are Chinese, and so that certainly helps. But even with that, we get by and are able to adapt with the language. As you're applying for the job, keep in mind that there are definitely pros and cons to working as a ship-based employee. Each person is going to be a little bit different depending where you're from. I'm from the United States, as I mentioned, so for me, this job was mostly about traveling the world and getting to experience something new. So the pros, the top of my list is travel. I've been able to go to about 14, 15 different countries, and it's taken me again from North America down to the Caribbean and over to Asia. So a great way to experience the world and to see a new place every day. And depending on the ship's itinerary, you can possibly be in the Bahamas for your entire contract on 3 to 4 day cruises, or maybe you get a different experience and you go on a 7 to 10 day voyage and you get to go to Europe or different places down to Australia, maybe even over to Asia. So you never know. It's kind of a luck of the draw with a lot of the positions, and it's kind of just up to up to the gods at that point. So number one for me, travel. Number two, with the company I work for, every employee is earning U.S. dollars. So for anyone coming from the Philippines or tiny Caribbean nations, things like that, they are earning U.S. dollars. So it's a great way for them to earn a really good salary and then also save and provide for families back home. And you'll see that a lot. Now, me being from the U.S., certainly different. It's not as much as I could make, back home at a different job, but that's, again, not the main reason that I'm here. So I still am able to save a good amount of money depending on the lifestyle that you lead. And for me, it's comfortable. So, it's certainly a pro for me at this point. Also, just getting the valuable work experience on ships with amazing people from all around the globe. I mean, there's so many nationalities on the ship, and you work with, anything on the world. People are coming from all around the globe, and so that's been a beautiful thing. And establishing friendships and knowing that, after a contract, if you want to go vacation or you want to see a place, quite potentially, somebody on the cruise ship is looking to come visit you, or maybe you have a place to stay wherever you might go. So definitely a pro there. And then the last one, just the ability to push yourself out of your comfort zone and experience a new lifestyle. I mean, this is something completely different than working on land, especially for me. And at first you got to get used to it, but then boom, you're right into the pace. You love it. And then when you're not working on the ship, it's a slower pace back home, and maybe you're looking to get back out, because every day is something new for the most part, and you never know what kind of interactions you might have. Now for the cons, because there definitely are some working on a cruise ship, and again, working on a ship is not for everybody, so keep that in mind as you apply, because when you do earn that position, it is a contract-based position. So it could be anywhere from 6 to 9 months that you'll be living and working on the ship. So some of the cons, number one, and it's probably at the top of the majority of crew members' list, is the food. Depending on who you ask, I'd say it is still the biggest issue. If you're eating in the crew mess, officers and different people with privileges or higher ranked officers may not be eating the same food every day, but for the majority of us, and depending on the ship, there's waves. Sometimes the food is really great. The chefs are are providing great meals for the crew members, and other times it's just, you know, the same standard stuff. And so it is a lot of rice and chicken and oftentimes overcooked vegetables and things like this. So it is high up on my cons list. You know, not everybody has the ability to guest areas and to go to restaurants and eat at some of the venues on board. So for most of us, it is the crew mess. As sports staff on the ship that I'm with, I'm a two-stripe officer, so I have certain privileges. You know, I can book and go to some of the restaurants or different venues if I want something else to eat. But again, majority of the time, everybody's down in the mess. Second one is freedom and just your personal space on board. It could be the hardest part, trying to find a happy medium while on the ship. Again, you're working, living, socializing, and partying with, you know, 1,300 crew members on a ship. And so you'll see a lot of the same faces, which is great. But, you know, at the end of the day, you are typically sharing a living space. You know, so I have a roommate and I sleep on a bunk bed. It's a twin bed or single bed. Depending on you know, which ship you're on. And so it's definitely something to get used to. So if you need, or if you're somebody that likes to just kind of step away and just relax a little bit, keep in mind that you know, for months at a time, you're going to have to share a space with someone else. Third is long work hours and no days off, typically no days off. So when during a contract, again, 6 to 9 months long, there are no days off. And depending on which department you're in, you can work up to 10 hours a day, and that's every day of your contract. And it could be, you know, depending on the nature of your work, it can be quite taxing on you mentally and physically. So for me, I think it's worked out quite well, you know, compared to back home working. A typical job would be 40 hours a week, although in the sport industry, you know, you're working evenings and weekends, and so you're sacrificing your time there as well. So just keep all those things in mind. You will be setting a lot of alarm clocks. You have to be, you know, places on time every day. So if you're somebody that struggles with that and maybe struggles with interacting at night, you know, going out at night and then having to wake up and ready for work the next day, you know, keep that in mind. All these things come into play. All right, so let's say that you've applied for a job, you've gotten an offer, and you're now ready to work on a cruise ship. What are some of the expectations or things that you might need to know prior to coming on board? Certainly the companies that you'll be applying with and getting the offers from will give you all the necessary information, or at least they should be. Depending on which country you come from, you might have to have different qualifications or certifications, excuse me, and some visa requirements. But again, companies should help you with those expenses, or you can submit expenses and get those things back. So you're on the ship and you've got your job, you're ready to roll. What can you expect? Well, first thing you'll notice is the ship is a fast-paced work environment. So there's constantly people moving, going to and from jobs, and coming to and from their cabins or the crew mess, crew gym, etc., things like that. So you might be shocked to see just how big of an operation it is. The current ship that I'm on, the action is all between decks 0, 1, and 2. So deck 2 and above will be guest areas, give or take, you know, which ship you're on, but all the action for crew typically is going to be decks 2 and the mess and things like this. So everywhere we live and eat, those decks and below. So everything above is what the guests see, and there is certainly behind the scenes and back of house kind of stuff with the bars and restaurants and shops, but there's crew members there, you know, with those guests, and it's kind of just like being on, you know, in a mall or a shopping center. You know, there's people facing with the customers, and then the guests are just about themselves. They have their staterooms on different decks, and then you have crew or guest gyms, other restaurants on board, just places to hang out, relax, go see shows at night. So all that is above for the guests to see. And not every crew member has access to those guest areas. So, you know, depending on your contract, you might come on and, you know, you may never go above deck 2. It's just one of those things. Now for trainings and purposes like that, emergency evacuation, things like that, you will have time to spend outside and learn a little bit more about the ship. Getting back to what you need to know once you've arrived, so you will have, you know, your bags with you, you'll unpack, you'll get checked into your room, you'll meet with your supervisor or manager and learn a little bit more about your position and your duties on board. So those first couple days is going to be a lot to take in, especially as a new hire. You have to go through a lot of training, you have to you know, be on your feet and quickly learn about what it entails for your job. So be prepared to work a good amount and maybe not sleep so well on the first couple days, just with some jet lag, depending on where you're traveling from, etc. So again, just some insight as to what it's like to get on board and begin working as a cruise ship employee. I think you ask, you know, most of us here who've been with the company for more than a year, and if they'd like to continue working in the cruise division, it may be back and forth, you know, depending on where people are coming from or their expectations for the job. You know, myself, I'm almost at 2 years with the company, and you know, I am getting to the point to where a decision needs to be made, because as I've certainly enjoyed my time and the places I've got to travel to and the work I've done and the people I've met along the way, you know, there's certainly a time for change. So we'll see what goes on there. But again, if you're considering working on a cruise ship, you know, I highly recommend it, especially if you are, you know, applying for sports staff or youth staff or a position within the cruise division where you are, you know, having the ability to work with the guests, but also, you know, go out and visit crew areas and being a 1.5 or 2 stripe officer, you know, it has some privileges as well. So definitely consider it if you're right out of university. You know, absolutely check out the company's website. And again, depending where you live, you know, there should be a local recruiter as well that you can reach out to just to get some more information about the job, but also to help for the hiring process. If you have any questions specifically about the company I work for or just in general, send me an email. And that email is contact@mantravelstheworld.com. And happy to answer any questions via email, share some insight and a little bit more behind the scenes, things that I can't put out maybe on public air, although it would be pretty fun to do some of those things. So maybe that'll be another episode. So for now, guys, thanks for listening in. I hope this podcast has given you a little bit more of an insight and some information as to how, you know, I go about you know, getting a job and then what life is like on a cruise ship. There's certainly so much to get into that it's tough to fit it all into one podcast. And again, so send me an email and I'm happy to provide some feedback for that. Again, highly recommend it. You know, if you're younger, if you're just out of school, you know, for me, I went to undergrad and I taught English in South Korea and did a few more things, came back and worked for some different sport organizations. And by the time I started working for the cruise line, I was 28 and I'm now 30. So everybody, you know, there's all kinds of ages and again, so many different nationalities on board. So you'll be able to meet a ton of great people and make friends and family for life. So definitely consider it. Again, this has been the Man Travels World Podcast Cruise Edition. And that's episode number 2, guys. It's a wrap. We'll see you next week.